Welcome to the catch up. Opened an enormous can of worms this morning.
Oh yeah, it was something about single women and married guys, and how there was no responsibility for the married men for falling on top of these single women. No, basically, it was along those lines.
Single women have incredible power, and they can use that power for good rather than for evil.
Harlem Globetrotters came in. They were a lot of fun.
They were. Scooter and Thunder.
They didn't like the fact that they missed the waste paper basket with the paper balls.
No, they didn't.
Geez, I saved the moon, though. He almost went into the urinal with at the same time as one of them were in there.
Yeah, no, it was very good advice. Mm. Very good life hack. Do not follow a Globetrotter into a toilet.
Hang back. And Valentine's Day was yesterday. We're going to see if Moon's Valentine's Day present got him over the line.
Oh, just tell him. Yes.
Yeah, he was very happy about it. And also, we had an amazing call from a father of an Asperger's child or an autistic child who kind of gave us some inside information which we didn't know.
Yep. Enjoy the catch-up.
I am getting onto a controversial pogo stick and I am going into a minefield here.
Okay.
Watch me blow myself to bits. I was having a conversation with a female friend of mine and we were talking about Barnaby Joyce and Vicky Campion and the whole office place romance thing. And I was like, well, surprise, surprise, you know, stop, hold the presses. A married man sleeps with a woman at work, you know, like that's never happened before. Mm. But of course, that's not just the issue with Barnaby Joyce. And she said to me, and I think that this is something that I will hold to, she said, single women have got to stop sleeping with married men. And I thought about it for a moment and I thought, that sounds a little bit retro, that statement. But then I thought, no, that's actually not abrogating responsibility. That's empowering women and saying, you know what? You've got the choice. Why don't you stop sleeping with married men? Because you have got the power in that situation.
Mm. Okay, so
I'm saying
to all
the sisters out there, all the single sisters,
yeah,
just hands off for married guys. Look, there's a ring here, so I'm off the market.
So basically you're negating any responsibility for any part that you would potentially play in an affair with a single woman if you're a married guy because, I'm not responsible. I'm an idiot.
I think that, you know, when it comes to the allure, women have a lot more strength they have a lot more skin in the game, if you will. And it's
what do you mean?
The power to pull it off in the end.
The power to make a man do something that he wouldn't ordinarily want to do, if it's on offer and it's there, a man will often jump at it. And I think that if a woman goes, buddy, you're married, stop it, then, you know, you come to your senses and you go in the other direction.
Are you totally comfortable to be seen as being that shallow and stupid?
No, I don't reckon it's shallow and stupid. I think it's just we're a bit more animalistic when it comes to those kind of urges.
You know why, here's my mind, why single girls have a go at married men. They don't want the relationship to go too long. They want it to be quick. Would that be why you have a go at a married man?
And being unavailable is an attractive quality to some people, and they think that they can, you know, get away with it.
Are these the same girls that will steal off? Like, it's not just married men. If guys in a relationship, are they the boyfriend stealers?
Hang on. Can I just flip that on its head though and say, do single men have to leave married women alone?
But I reckon that the traffic is a lot more the other way. Mm. Married men wandering off after a single woman to try and top up an ego or to have one last roll of the dice or, you know, because she's more attractive than his wife. And he is in a vulnerable position,
Are you getting many suggestions? Because it's not happening to me. Is it happening to you a lot? Is that why?
I'm just looking out of the sales department
now.
Are you genuinely
think this? Because sounds like you're acting like a victim and saying that I take absolutely no responsibility for my part in something that is equal between two people.
Oh, I'm not being a victim and I'm not being, you know, like a pathetic human. I'm just saying that I think women have a lot more power in this situation, especially if you're young and single and attractive. I think you've got to take responsibility.
All right, disagreement is afoot, so let's do this.
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
The statement is more like a can of grenades today. This is going to get fiery. Single women shouldn't sleep with married men, period.
I'm sure there's a lot of women out there that will agree with me. Single girls, back away from the married guys.
No. Do you agree with it? Do you disagree with it? Single women shouldn't sleep with married men. Very interested to get the results of this.
Both people are responsible. A third of marriages, people end up cheating. 22% of them are men and only 14% are women. So only 14%, well, not only, but, you know, you guys are doing it more than we are.
Yeah, we, and you know what? If the supply was cut off, we'd do it less.
Mm.
Taking no responsibility.
Wouldn't porn sites prefer that?
Whatsoever. Ben of Bridgman Downs, what do you reckon?
Firstly, Robin, I agree with you that it doesn't absolve men of guilt for sleeping with single women, but I think Moon Man is 100% correct that it would happen less if single women simply refused to sleep with married men or actually stopped it. My wife knows that there's no chance of me chasing a single woman, but she's concerned about the women at work or even outdoors, you know, and functions and so forth, that pursue men, that men get led astray far easier.
Hey, Ben, how many times do you hear disappointed single women say all the good ones are taken? So therefore they start chasing those ones because they can't get single blokes who they like.
That's right. And even the girls at work, you know, we talk about relationships and things, you know, on just a informal basis, and they say they just they simply refuse to sleep with married men. For exactly that reason.
So, Ben, do you think that there is risk that you would fall for a single woman, even though you're completely open and, you know, having these conversations with your wife?
No, because I'm punching way above my weight. Yeah. I'm about 3 weight classes out, but, you know, well, my wife's gorgeous, so I won't do that. But
see? There you go. You are capable of actually saying no, fellas.
But not all blokes are like that.
Yeah.
Any temptation, they'll like take that. It up.
Absolutely.
Steve of Drewvale, what do you reckon?
No, listen, Moon Man, you are absolutely incorrect. I agree with Robin 100%. The single female has not made a commitment to anyone. Me as a husband, I've made a commitment to my wife to be faithful. Mm. And if you want to go chasing or another person chases you, it doesn't matter. You've made that commitment. Now, me and my wife have been together for 20 years, and I would not even consider it for a second to stray outside of that marriage, because I made a commitment to my wife. I love her dearly. I love our kids, and I would not put any of that in jeopardy.
Yeah, good.
I think that's just a cop-out. It's just an excuse for other men to try and make themselves feel better and to shift the blame.
We're weak beasts, Stephen, though. We can be tempted by the flesh.
Thank you, Steve. What about men who lie, too?
Three bundies and cokes in, and all of a sudden something bent their
eyelids. What about guys who say they are single? If they meet someone at a bar and they're in fact married.
Will from Wynnum, what do you reckon?
Mate, I'm 100% in agreement that the girls have to try and stop it, but at the same time I think it's not every guy's going to do it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. We just heard from Steve. He's no way, I'm no way. Moon's obviously thinking about it.
I'm no way myself, but I went through a lifestyle of going out every weekend with a bunch of girls that would chase after every single married man in the place. They had an idea that meant the guy was open for commitment.
Mm. Hang on. What are you saying? They'd go after a married man because they'd want it.
They would look for a ring.
What?
But he's already...
Because they're committed.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying, he's already been vouched for. He's, you know...
But he's showing a history of commitment.
That doesn't make sense. Yeah. That also shows a commitment of cheating.
It's like saying...
Yeah, the logic's flawed.
I'd like to crack onto a mum because I know that she has had sex before. Like,
oh,
that's about how stupid it all is.
Correct, though. Okay. Correct.
Michelle of Rochdale South, you have personal experience. What would you like to say?
I think that once that you make that decision to be committed in a relationship, male or female, then you should stay with that decision. Once you identify that someone is flirting with you, you should... be a responsible person to your relationship and let them know, look, I'm married, back off.
Good call, Michelle. Love you, Michelle.
Your comment that you said about all the good men are taken, yes, that is true, but you just have to find and find a lot harder. I was married for 17 years, loved him for 15 years, and on all that time, he cheated on me the whole bloody time.
The whole time?
And then finding out that family and friends had knew as well and then judged me for kicking him out of my house. I had 3 beautiful children with this man.
Who was he cheating with?
Hey, anyone.
Anyway. Oh, multiple. So it wasn't one affair.
He'd go out with his mates and bang, yeah, having one night stands here and there, you know, like.
That's dangerous.
No. So I made the decision and kicked him out. And now I've found the love of my life. And I'm so grateful that I made that decision, and my children are happy with this man. And yeah, I believe that once you feel that someone is flirting with you and you have got a ring on your finger, back off, sister, I'm taken. Move on.
Back off, sister. Yeah, that's it in a nutshell, Michelle.
Good on you, Michelle. It's the big breakfast.
Snowboard fever has taken over the studio, hasn't it? You went home and watched him.
It was fun. Yeah, we're talking about Scotty James, our great flag-bearing winter Olympian.
What a good human.
Who is like double world champion, and he was going for gold, but it was going to be tough because he was up against a 31-year-old who's the GOAT of snowboarding. How am I going so far?
His second ride was the one that got him 92 points. Mate, he was in third place.
Yeah.
And then when with only three to go, it was him, the tiny little Japanese bloke, and Sean White, the flying tomato, they call him. So the Japanese kitty was in front, Moon. All right. Yep. So
second Sweet Olympics, talking. Only 19.
Marla, you said something very interesting to me yesterday. Right. It's helping people with their 360 times table.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, did the guy pull off a 1080 and then a 1440? Because if he did, I'll go he.
All right. Well, let's check. Let's check. Because Scotty James knew he was in third position, only three of them. So he was guaranteed a medal. It was what colour as he went for his last ride. And he was trying to put two 1440s back to back.
Which hasn't been done.
And what is 1440? Is that four lots of 360, 1200, carry the two.
The one.
Yeah. Yeah. He was trying to do a double quadruple. And this is how it sounded, ladies and gentlemen, when he tried the impossible. Scotty James.
A new household name for Australia. This kid is an absolute legend. And dropping in, he's going to start things off with the front side 1260. All he has to do is really clean up that run into the backside 1260.
Oh, backside 1260.
There's the front side 1080. Oh.
Bugger.
He fell over.
He kind of fell over. Yeah. But you know what?
I was going to say, what is the bugger? Because I've never heard that before.
Well, that was the backside 1260.
Backside 1260. Oh, he's pulled off the bugger.
Anyway, he lay there for a while and then he got up and just went, ah.
Yeah, but his family, he's got a massive family and his mum and dad and his sisters and lots of cousins and stuff were there.
He's got 48 cousins.
Yeah, big family.
Oh, my God. I saw that. And his nana was in, they were all at the nursing home, 101 she turns on Friday. And she was so proud. And he actually said hello to Nan, I think, at some stage.
Well, he said hello to Australia as well. The thing I love about this guy is that clearly, as you're saying, Mato, at the top of the mountain, he thought, I've got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go for it, because this is what he said when he got down to the bottom and embraced his family.
A lot of people have told me I can't, so, and I took it in my stride most of the time, and I don't know, I just came out fighting the kid from Warrandyte, Australia, and that's what I know how to do, so I did that and gave him my best shot today, and it was awesome, so thank you everyone from home.
What a guy.
Speaks all right for a snowboarder.
Now, Marlo, I've heard you allude to the fact that snowboarders and weed and, are something that go hand in hand.
Mm.
Being from Melbourne, I've got to say Warrandyte is a massive stoner area. And it hasn't got any snow.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
Okay, I'm going to say this off the bat because we're going to enter into a fairly serious conversation that we don't know very much about. So if you have personal experience with anyone who has autism or Asperger's, can you give us a call right now on 133353? Because front page of today's Courier Mail, you would have seen it was the lead story last night. A nightmare was unfolding where police ended up shooting a 16-year-old kid out at Springfield, and it seems that there was a domestic dispute, and the child opened that the police were called. From what I understand from the paper and also last night, the kid was having some issues with his parents. The mum called the police. The police opened the door, and the child had a knife
and came at them,
and then he was shot, and he's now in hospital recovering. But what shocked me about this story, apart from the fact that you know you've got a kid who's been shot, I didn't realise that people with Asperger's or autism were violent. I know lots of people who
they can be awkward. Some of their mannerisms,
genius because they have this thing where they focus on one
particular topics.
Yeah, so clearly none of us have any idea what this is about. But I genuinely did not understand that there was violence.
Okay,
seemed weird, didn't it? And seemed it must have been bad if the mum, knowing that she has an Asperger son, has rung the cops. Apparently, he didn't go to school. This young fella. You know, he pulled out a number of years ago from what I'm reading. But for him to,
have you had any experience, Moon?
Yeah, well, we all know a little bit about autism or Asperger's that we've got from, the media or pop culture. Like, for example, Rain Man was probably the first time we were exposed to the idea of somebody with a form of autism or a savant, and I don't even know whether that language is the correct language anymore.
Now, can I just check, Asperger's, now I know a couple of young people with it, they go to school, but they are focused on unusual topics and unusual activities sometimes.
Well,
so Asperger's, I think, falls under the umbrella of
autism, but it's high functioning.
High functioning, they can involve themselves with life.
Okay, let's check, because Andrew of Mount Cotton, you have an autistic son. You can shed some light on this for us. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, everyone's shocked. They're going, 16-year-old boy shot. We're finding out a little bit more. Have you got an Asperger's?
Yeah, see, I've got a 16-year-old who's like level 3 severe autism.
And what does that mean? How does that manifest? Is he violent?
Yes. We have him on strong medication that because he self-harms and lashes out. It's when they start to get excited. They start to lash out, and a lot of them think it's funny, and he'll laugh when he lashes out. But, yeah, so we have him on strong medication to sedate him so that it stops him self-harming and stops him hurting other people. Like, we don't take him out unless there's two of us with him to be able to control him.
So, Andrew, does that does his aggression ever come from a frustration in not being able to express himself?
On occasion, because he can't talk either. If he's trying to get something across to you that he wants and he can't get it, he'll run off and he'll either throw something, and then you know that he's trying to tell you something, but you just don't know what it is and he can't express it.
So, Andrew, when you saw this story last night, or as we're talking about it this morning, what did you think? Were you surprised that this could happen?
Yeah, no, extremely surprised, because, I mean, you can tell an autistic child by the look on their face, the way they look, because they look sideways all the time, so you know that there's some type of disability with the child. You know, it's not a normal functioning child. So it was quite surprising when they said that they had actually shot him.
This family that I read, the neighbours going, they didn't see much of him. It's easier to stay at home, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we have like deadlocks on every door, the windows, everything's reinforced so that he can't actually get out, because he has got out once before. And was actually, when we rang the police, they found him about a K away, and someone had actually managed to get him into their house.
Oh, wow.
And Andrew, what about your life? Has that completely been absorbed by your son's autism? Has it completely changed your life?
Yeah, well, we've actually only just started receiving respite in the last couple of years, where he goes overnight to a care centre.
Yeah.
So myself and my wife, from when he was born till about 3 years ago, we actually never took any holidays at all, because we couldn't get anyone to look after him, or you just weren't sure yet. So it was only like the last 2 years or so that we've actually, now we get 12 nights a year where he actually goes into a secure respite centre where they actually can look after him.
Can I just ask you quickly, Andrew, because you've shed a massive amount of light, and thank you so much for sharing your story, but how do you want us, as the general public, who clearly aren't that informed about all of this, to kind of operate with your family?
Oh, it's basically just, if you're out in public, they do make it like he makes a lot of noise, and we actually have to hold on to him quite tightly. It's just for people just to realise, you're not being mean to the child. You're actually making sure the public is safe while you're out with him. And, you know, just to realise that not everyone is normal, and some people just can't help themselves. And just to try and be a little bit understanding when an autistic child starts yelling and screaming, that, you know, it's that they can't help themselves. It's just the way they are.
Yeah. Well, mate, thank you very much. I've one last question, not for you, Andrew, but for the police. How come they didn't taser him? Why did they have to shoot him? That's all I want to know.
Well, there's an investigation.
Love that one to be answered.
Tonight.
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
You're the Commonwealth Games expert, Robin.
Oh,
when does it start? Well, you're the only one of us with tickets.
Yeah. We bought tickets. I bought them for my sons for Christmas. We're going on the 8th of April. We're doing three sports: beach volleyball, some of the athletics, and then the only other thing we could get into was badminton.
Oh, that's all right.
But it starts on the 4th, which is, so Easter is the 1st.
1st is Easter Sunday, 2nd is Easter Monday, so it starts on the Wednesday.
Wednesday, right.
Okay, and then so you're going on the 8th, which is a Sunday.
Yeah, the following
Sunday. So that'll be a beautiful
day. Well, except, now I know that there has been lots of news in the last 24 hours that there's been some mistakes made, and I can add to the mistakes. The big one was the opening ceremony. So what they wrote on the ticket was the 4th, but they said Thursday.
Oh, no, that's not a Thursday.
No, it's not. It's a Wednesday. Yeah. And they can't reissue the tickets because then there'll be two lots of tickets floating around and you won't know whose is whose.
So what do you look at? Have you seen a picture of one of these tickets?
I haven't because I didn't buy opening ceremony ones, I'm the person that looks at the day, not the date.
You'd look on Thursday.
Yeah,
and
I'd go, it's Thursday.
Have they said what provision they'll make if somebody complains, like gets their Thursday and there's no opening ceremony?
They're allowing people to refund some of the tickets, which I think they are anyway, which is, you know, not great because they're still trying to get bums on seats. But the other issue we've got is my partner Sean and I bought these for my kids. Oh. And there's five of us and they've only sent four tickets. So now we're going to go back to them.
Oh, I love that.
And they would have issued
least favoured son.
No, I'm not doing that.
This is better than Santa threats.
No, I'm not doing that.
So if you're
not going to the beach volleyball, you'll miss out on a good perv. You don't behave over the next month.
That was the one ticket they were super excited about, all three of them. But they would have issued us seating. Yeah. And they haven't included the extra one, so the chances are they're going to have to reissue all five.
Lonely guy. Oh, God.
Yeah, so that's my experience with the Commonwealth Games. It's not going well.
If New Delhi could pull off that one in 2010, remember that? They were doing before the Commonwealth Games started. Everyone went, oh, my God. They managed to do it in time and it all worked.
Yeah.
I'm worried, though, like a lot of the things that they're saying are absolute myths. I'm worried about some of the satellite. The traffic's going to be an enormous one.
It is.
They keep drip feeding. Yeah, I was down the coast on Monday. You were down there on Sunday. Yes, there's signs everywhere telling beware. They want everyone to stay at home the whole period. It's going to cost, they go, the economic benefit to Southeast Queensland and the Gold Coast will be hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, I was with a heap of Gold Coast people on Monday, and they're all going, this is ridiculous. They're closing down. My daughter's going to lose 2 weeks' work. Her cafe has to be closed down because they're not opening the roads, and there's only an event goes past the front of their cafe for one day. They're closing the street completely. No deliveries in, out. So they've got to close the cafe. So all these knock-on effects, it's going to cost hundreds of millions to little businesses, but the government won't want to say that. They'll go, look at all the money we made. But there's all these people who are going to go semi-brokes. 2 weeks without money for small businesses can send them to the wall.
Absolutely it can. But, you know, there's is Peter Beattie the head of the Commonwealth Games organisation?
Yeah,
I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of the good things about India, at least there was a name to giggle at, because people go, you know, here's
Who
Peter
is
Beattie.
The boss of theirs?
Well, do you remember this name?
Sheila Dixit.
What?
Oh, no.
What was her name?
Sheila Dixit.
Do you remember? Every night we used to cackle at the news when she...
Yeah, and they'd say her name was Sheila Dixit.
Sheila Dixit.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate name.
Is that all you take out of the Delhi Games?
No.
What else are you...
I've got to say, the Commonwealth is a fascinating organisation, and so there's a lot of countries that you've never heard of or may not remember. So when the Commonwealth come here for the Games, you've got to pick a country. And this year, I'm going for St. Christopher Nevis, Anguilla.
Yes.
Where the heck is that?
Wow.
That is
in
the West Indies. They do have a flag. It's got a palm tree on it. It's green, yellow, and blue.
Are they sending anyone? They'd be sailors.
I don't know what they do.
I've never ever heard of that country.
St. Kitts.
St. Christopher Nevis, Anguilla.
Yeah, I think they shorten it to St. Kitts.
Oh, St. Kitts, I've heard of.
Yeah.
Okay. Gibraltar.
St. Kitts is something completely different. So maybe you want to take your
offensive
your racism elsewhere. St Kitts and Nevis is that's a different country.
Isn't the Commonwealth Games good though? You find where the British, who they dominated around the world at one stage.
Yeah,
it's fascinating.
Lots of African countries have got a lot to answer for, really, don't they?
They learned how to sail, the British, and they were pretty good at it.
It's lighting the mood.
Sheila Dixon.
It's Triple M.
Hey, listen, I need a little bit. I made a little bit of help with a parenting issue. Well, I think it's a parenting issue. I might
hit them.
Need some input here. All right, you know my young bloke, Harry, I've spoken about him. Actually, you met him the other night,
yeah,
man. You've met him. You know him, Robin.
Lovely young man.
All right, so he's come back from his, you know, he's had his gap year last year where he worked hard, then he went overseas.
Come back with a man bun.
And he has got a man bun, but let's not focus on that.
Just poking the bear.
It might get trimmed up at some stage if he falls asleep long enough and I've got a pair of scissors. All right. A builder has offered him an apprenticeship, okay, to start in April. And he knew that. He was offered it last November and he knew that before he came home. Right, that's what he was coming home to and all the rest of it. And you know that when he came home, I asked on radio if anyone's got any work for the young bloke. He needs some work. He needs money, etc. So a mate of mine is a plumber. He said, yeah, I've got a lot of labouring to do. He's been working for him for the last 2 weeks.
He was subject to a poo geyser.
That's right. His first day at work, there was the eel opened up the damage and the poo came out. And we went, how'd that go? All right, there's an update.
Okay, what's the update?
Here's where I need the help. All right, he came home. We had a very earnest conversation 2 nights ago. And Kath and I, my wife and I, sat around and he said, I don't know whether I want to do the carpentry apprenticeship. And I think he thought he was letting me down as a former apprentice carpenter and then a builder. He was worried that that's what I wanted to push him into, but I had no desire. I wanted him to do what he wanted to do. That's what last year was all about. Try different trades and then you'll know what you don't want to be a concreter. No, okay, you don't want to be a plasterer. Yeah.
You know, there's an echo here from history. This is very biblical because it's the same conversation Jesus had with his father. He was an apprentice carpenter and just
wanted out.
I want out of this.
Did he ever finish his apprenticeship, Jesus?
Going to start healing people.
I don't think he did.
So did Jesus was a carpenter but wanted to be a doctor?
No, he wanted to be a spiritualist. He's like, I want out of my apprenticeship and just went and lived in Byron for a while with his mates. Like ruined that. The fishing industry.
All right. So we deliver that. We go, well, what do you want to do? As every parent, you've got to do something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to work. Yeah. He said, yeah, I want to be a plumber.
Oh.
All right. So I said, well, you're going to have to ring, and I won't mention the builder's name. You're going to have to ring him now and tell him because he's hanging out. Oh. He's got jobs to plan, et cetera.
Fair enough.
That's a hard call. That call of like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
The rejection.
Now, just so you guys know, carpenters and builders look down on plumbers a little bit. His note to me, this is yesterday morning. Marto, all good, Harry, choosing to do plumbing, mate. Don't worry, things could always be worse. Your daughter could marry a Kiwi. And it went on. I sent one back to him, la, la, la. I said, who knows? He might come back to you because he left the invitation, get him to come back.
That's good.
He goes, I understand, kids. It's hard for them to work out what they want to do, and that's true.
How old's Harry?
Harry's 18. He's only just 18.
I think there's so much pressure on kids to nail down a career too early on in life, and I think you should be able to drift. I didn't start stand-up comedy till I was 29. I was a drifter.
What did you do before then? You were
I was a customs officer for 6 years, and then I left that and got into drama school, debt collector for... years. That put me through drama school.
All right.
And then I was a high-rise window cleaner. That was the last real job I had.
This is wonderful.
Because this is not a real job.
No.
It's not.
But this is where we want to go. This is where I want to go because the builder mate of mine's gone, don't worry about this. I've got a daughter like this. She went from doing veterinary science to being a policewoman. She's now a primary school teacher.
I love
the roundabouts. Can we hear some stories just to make it? You don't have to work things out straight away. How did you get to where you are now? A long roundabout.
What about you, Robin? What did you do?
See, I'm one of these people that always just wanted to be in radio and started as in year 9 and then just got a cadetship as a journalist and then transitioned over to on-air.
Industry veteran.
I am one of those people. But
so
my,
you had vision.
I just knew what I wanted to do and I was lucky. But my son, who's starting O-Week next week, wants to fly planes. We'll see how long that lasts. Yeah.
You were a career woman and just kept going in the one industry, Robin.
Yeah, well, the problem is now as I'm, you know, getting closer to 50 and I probably need a real job, I actually can't do anything else.
Yeah.
which is slightly problematic.
Oh, you got no skills.
I've got no skills. All I can say on a resume is that I can talk a whole lot of crap with not much warning.
Then Bunnings is the place.
Oh, my God. Throw the apron on.
Brenton of Munroobin, you've been through a couple of jobs. What have you done?
Yeah, fellas, when I first left school, my parents owned a bakery and, tried to do the, follow my father's footsteps and do the old baker thing. And, didn't like it.
So where did it lead you to? Where did the journey take you?
My mum ended up saying, we had a family friend that, was a boilermaker and said, well, why don't you be a boilermaker? And I wouldn't have a clue what that was. And, I'd like making stuff as a kid, out of steel and whatnot. And then, got a job, an apprenticeship as a boilermaker and loved it ever since. I've got my own business now. I build race cars for a living, Big Reds Custom Fabrications.
Well, hold on, say it again. What's your business?
Big Reds Custom Fabrications.
Nice one.
You build race cars?
Pardon?
Did you say you build race cars?
Yes.
Oh, dream.
I've got my own race car. She's parked up at the moment. I broke the engine last year. But it should be out again this year, so.
Good one, mate.
Well done. Thank you.
It's not about where you start.
Work, Brenton.
Yeah.
Well, Jim from Tambourine, where did your journey take you?
Morning, team. I started off and left school and joined the bank. So I was in the bank for 7 years. Then I became a financial consultant. Then I started up my own demolition business at 24, so that was a bit of a radical move. Then worked behind the scenes in the theatre back down in Canberra.
Wow.
Get the band going up in Brisbane, so we moved to Brisbane. That didn't give us any money, so I became an asbestos removal demolition labourer and just worked my way up to project manager, which I am today.
Wow. If you're a demolition guy, do you get your own wrecking ball?
No, that's 1920s, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no longer those things.
I want one of them.
You get excavators and you claw at buildings.
Nah.
Jim, that's a beauty, mate. Thank you.
Brett of North Lakes. Ooh.
Wrecking ball is wrecking a good ball. Question. Good question, Robin.
Like, have you ever seen a wrecking ball?
Yeah, on Miley Cyrus's video.
Yeah, but apart from that, that's the only one in existence.
It's a yellow card for mentioning Miley Cyrus on Triple E.
Oh, that's a good yellow too, sir.
Oh, twerking on a wrecking ball.
Brett of North Lakes.
Hey, g'day, guys. How are you?
You started in radio and you left us. Why? What are you doing?
Oh, look, a long trail. I worked in radio. Started out at school. From there, my father owned a takeaway business, did takeaway for a while, and then worked in hospitality for a little while as well. Then worked for a kitchen company, left a kitchen company, worked as an auto guy for a little while, then went back to the kitchen company, then I joined the military, did some time in the military, left the military, worked in a cardboard factory for a while, then from the cardboard factory got into professional skydiving for about 15 or 16 years, and now I own a parachute rigging company.
Oh, good
Are you
Lord.
Jack Reacher from those?
That's a great story.
Let's go back to where it all began. Brett, radio, your best radio voice, say it's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Oh, well, welcome to the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
I still got it.
In amongst everything else we've had on the show today, we are truly honoured to have two of the Harlem Globetrotters in the studio with us. We've got Hammer and we've got Scooter. Oh, sorry, Thunder and Scooter. Hello, boys.
How's it going? How you doing?
What are you here for? You're going to play in Brisbane in April, so you're just doing the promo.
Right. We do April 20th. We're playing at the BEC, and hoping that everybody to come out to the game. If you've never seen the Globetrotters play, it's definitely not your average basketball game, that's right. For sure.
So do you play each other? How do you do it?
We played against the Washington Generals. So, and infamous team that loses all the time. The last time they won was in 1971.
Whoa.
So.
Oh, whoops. And you, neither of you two were playing then.
No, we haven't lost yet.
We haven't lost. I'm undefeated as a professional basketball player.
Now, let me ask you this. The Harlem Globetrotters experience, it's athleticism, it's comedy, it's theater. But the Washington Generals playing to win.
Yes. A lot of people think that the Washington Generals are just some clown team that we beat up. But these guys, actually, they have game. Recently, they went on a 5-year hiatus, and they put together some talent that think they're going to take our you know, our crown. But it's not happening with guys like Scooter. He's not going to let it happen. So he got game.
Scooter, I believe you have the world record for spinning a ball on your nose for 8 seconds?
7.7. I'll take 8, though, but yeah. It was 7.7 seconds. Yeah.
How do you practice? You just do it.
The first time I ever seen it, I was a rookie, and it was a guy by the name of Michael Wildthing Wilson that could spin the ball on his nose, and he could spin the ball on his head. And I just was, I mean, I should have bought a ticket. We were on the same team. I was just in awe of him every single night. And that was his last year. And it was almost like the fight for that trick because everybody was trying it. And that whole summer, man, I had a lot of nose burns and bleeds to get there. But I ended up doing it. And the kids love to see that trick every single night. So, and I just actually been perfecting it. And I had the opportunity to set the world record in
That's ridiculous. What happens.
But people always say, you know, 7.7, that's not that long. So I give them the ball. I say, try it.
Okay, so is it on your tip of your nose?
It's just on the tip. Yeah.
Are you going to show us?
I want to see you try.
We're videoing this, so you can actually check it out on Triple
okay,
M.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, here we go. We're getting the headphones are coming off.
Right on. Here comes Scooter. The ball's spinning on his finger first. Okay. Now he's got a nose. He places the ball on there now like a globe.
Oh, as spinning on the his world. Nose.
That's 3 seconds. That was.
Spinning everywhere.
They're trying to get you to break another record in here.
We should also say that, Thunder, you have a number of Guinness World Records too.
Yeah.
How many?
I currently hold, I believe, 5, but I've set 7.
There it is.
Like what?
The first record I set was the world's longest basketball shot, and that was 109 feet, 9 inches.
Whoa.
My second one was the world's longest backward shot. And
what was that, 30 meters or something, wasn't it?
Yep. And then
throwing it over your head.
Throw it up backwards. But the most difficult and challenging one, I probably would say, the one I just did recently this past November when I was in Utah, and the world's longest upward, the world's highest upward shot. And I shot it about 50 feet up in the air, and it was pretty hard.
You know, on YouTube, you get these guys doing all the trick shots from on top of stadiums and, you know, throwing.
Dance.
Do you try any of that sort of stuff?
Oh, yeah. I've done one in Houston, Texas. It was about almost 300 feet up in the air, but I have a teammate, Buckets.
Right.
He did one that, like, it was.
It was 580 something feet.
I can't remember exactly.
And he always puts in the inches there.
Don't forget my inches. Yeah, exactly. So, but
he's
probably listening to this, screaming at us right now.
Get my inches in there.
Now, Marto, you have just put some rolled up scrap paper in front of these fellas. What are you going to do?
All right. See the bin down here?
Yeah,
this is probably. We know you can throw basketballs.
Mm-hmm.
Those five, you got 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Right up. Give me the basketball. You got the piece of paper. I want to see how you go doing what normal. This is what normal people do at work. Okay.
Okay.
So you're probably 3 meters away from the waste basket here, and Marto considers himself the best.
That's one.
That's one.
This is Thunder.
Two. In.
Oh,
three.
Oh, he's human.
Dog.
Now
you got to make off.
I can't even see it.
Oh, you can't.
No, it doesn't matter.
Scooter can't see it.
Is that one?
He hit the monitor. That's in.
One.
That's in.
Two.
That's in.
Three.
That's in.
Oh. That's different from the way right blue basketball.
Wow, that's unreal, those balls.
You've got to get to see the Harlem Globetrotters, okay? It's April 20th at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre. You can go to harlemglobetrotters.com. I believe you guys are going to the Sydney Kings Brisbane Bullets game tonight.
Yeah,
as well.
We'll be there at halftime. Right. You know, we'll go bring a little bit of razzle dazzle. Scooter's going to show off a little bit, and I might finish off with a slam dunk.
Nice.
But we don't want to give away too much. You know, this is amazing feats of basketball we're told that we won. So we got some amazing feats to show. You got a lot. So you got to come check us out on April 20th.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do want to give a couple of tickets away tonight as well.
Awesome.
Brisbane Bullets, SydneyKings, Ticketek.com.au for tickets. Scooter Thunder from the Harlem Globetrotters. An absolute pleasure. Thank you, fellas.
Thank you.
Big breakfast, Triple M.
I've been so looking forward to this chat because yesterday with Valentine's Day, we were just checking in with all of you to see what you were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Marto, you left a whole pile of scratches in front of the toilet for Kath.
First thing she found when she got up in the morning, went to the toilet, went, wow, what a husband.
Did she win anything?
I only just started scratching a little bit. She'll leave that. That'll be a long game.
Oh, that'll be a long game? And did it work for you?
I got a long-term, long-term policy. I don't speak about my sex life, if that's
fair
what
enough.
You're asking.
I didn't know. I was asking if it worked. I asked you if it worked for you. Did you get a present back?
Listen, Married at First Sight was on last night. Do you reckon I got one? No.
I'm still asking the same question is, did you get anything back? Did you get a gift back?
Yeah, because she figured, oh, God, he bought me something. She bought me a bottle of Bailey.
Right.
So I had a sip of that and went to bed.
It's interesting, Marto. Of all the questions that you're asked, it's the only one that you don't answer with a diagram. about your sex life. Anything about the coast or the wind direction. Now, let me show you.
Donut. How'd you go anyway?
Well, I got a bunch of flowers on Tuesday night and a bottle of champagne. And what then last night, Lou said, let's go out to dinner. So we went out for a lovely dinner. And what I observed last night was a lot of couples make a real effort on Valentine's Day, all dressed up, quite lovely. I was in Birkenstocks and a black T-shirt, never mind. But there was a lot of couples out, and I got kind of quite moved by it, because you look at people and you think, look at the choice they've made, you know, with their life partner, and how did those people get together? And
Were they newbies, skinny and short and tall? Was it obvious they were new couples? Is that why they were out? Like, were they still talking? I think we all know you go to restaurants and you look at couples and they...
No, a lot of them looked like couples that had been together for a long time. There was a couple on the table next to us and couldn't really hear the conversation, but she became a bit teary at one stage, so he was being... a little bit mean on Valentine's Day.
You broke up with her on Valentine's Day.
Don't do that.
I bet that happens on Valentine's Day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Valentine's Day dumpage. Let's go out to dinner. You're not my Valentine. But the flowers and the champagne and the dinner, boom, the moon, touchdown. That's right.
Whoa.
Wow. I didn't even ask and you shared that.
Yes, Robin. It was a pretty long session.
What?
A long session.
What, more than what, 53 seconds or whatever it is, 43 seconds?
We're almost up to the 2 minute mark.
that line.
Good on you, Loz.
Thank you, guys. No standing ovation.
Where do you time from, though, from the moment you walk in the door, don't you? Home.
From the time.
Finished.
Let's say if we were at Cape Canaveral, yes. By the time. From the moment the rocket leaves the launch pad.
Oh, my God. Do you want to keep going?
No way. It's 8:15 on Triple M, the big breakfast.